Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, today with me I have Jessica Phillips. She is an expert in relationship marketing. Hey Jessica.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Did I miss something? What else are you an expert in?
I would say just being a parent, not quite an expert though. I did realize yesterday that the tooth fairy is a very hard job when your child is sleeping on a loft bed, a new loft bed. It was kind of a funny experience trying to climb up a ladder and on the opposite side of the bed, try to shove the dollar bill while getting a tooth when you have very short arms.
So oh, that's funny.
It was a sight to be seen, but the mission was accomplished. So I did give myself a parenting brownie point for that. But
I think that's something that you use Facebook Live for.
Exactly. Yeah, no, nobody needed to see that. It was just funny enough imagining it, let alone seeing it. It was quite the experience. But no, I like to stick to relationship marketing, helping clients maintain their clients longer by focusing on repeat and referral business and maximizing the relationships that they already have with the clients that they're serving. So I try to double down on that and using tools like social media, online marketing, and their website to do that.
Okay, we'll go into that. You know, when I see relationship marketing, I always feel like I don't really have relationships with companies as a customer, you know, mm-hmm. like we have an understanding, you know, mm-hmm. as long as you give me quality stuff, I will most likely stay loyal, right? That's like an understanding. Friendships, maybe with some closer, you know, like clients or, but relationships, you know, I have a company mm-hmm. Where we create online courses and we do marketing. And I have clients coming up all the time and saying like, hey, let's do revenue share or other things. And I'm like, you know, we don't want to start that type of a relationship. You know, like think of me as a one night stand. You know, I do the thing, you pay me and I leave. To me, the relationship part, it's that word mm-hmm. just sort of doesn't fit into how I look at business transactions.
Yeah. And you kind of hit the nail on the head in explaining how you're looking at business transactions as transactional and one-off, one-night stands, like you said. And majority of businesses do think of it like that. They're always focusing on the new and how do I get more business transactions in the door? Usually most of the marketing dollars are spent that way as well. They're always focusing on the new because they think if new revenue is coming in, if by new means of new sales, then we're doing well. What they fail to realize is the relationship comes from the experience that people have while they're purchasing your service. This is how you keep someone loyal in your business and buying your products. So if somebody else is coming in as a competitor that's maybe selling the same trinket or the same kind of software at a lower dollar, you're not always competing on price. If you have a relationship with them, meaning that you make it the very best experience from before they even know who you are, that your information's easy to find, it's easy to understand, and you're working with them through the whole transactional process and beyond, constantly adding value and making their experience a deeper dive one so they can maybe use your product a little bit more of the way that it's intended, depending on what it is, or you're, you know, following up and over-delivering on your promises to where they're going to be loyal to you, not just because your thing works, because somebody else may make a thing that works, but because your thing works and they have some kind of connection with it. When brands can switch their thinking to focusing on the clients that they currently have today and turning those clients into a marketing army for them, they're going to have to spend less dollars on marketing, more dollars on just client happiness overall. And we all know the whole 80-20 rule. The clients that are with you longer spend more money. They're going to tell more people about you. And this is the new battlefield as we move in to this digital area where, you know, this arena here, it's, you know, anything we can find at a push of a button and at our fingertips. There's more options than ever before. So we have to focus on the customer experience unless you want to be the cheapest option out there. And then you don't have the service dollars to even protect what you're trying to create. You're always going to be competing on price at that point.
Do you think that works for all businesses?
I do. I mean, honestly, just yesterday I was watching a video. It was Keeping It Real, Amanda. She was the gal that did this funny Instagram video for Kohl's Cash that kind of went viral. But she was doing a video on just customer service through the drive-thru. And I mean, if you think about just fast food restaurants, they are relying on people driving through their fast food restaurant at right. all times. And she was just talking about the experience that she had just at a drive-thru and how it made her want to go to one restaurant over another. I'm not going to mention the ones that she said, but we're all in a relationship business, whether, and she was talking about somebody that's not even really looking her in the face. The same thing with online. If we can't find the answers, we're moving on to the next thing. So I usually focus with our business on more B2B service-based or professional service-based clients or nonprofits, people that have like a harder time explaining what they do and or they can't offer like a buy one, get one free special, you know, because they're selling a service or something that can't be discounted. But it even goes to those restaurants and the drive-thrus that she's, you know, talking about. I mean, a prime example is like Toys R Us that is a staple of our childhood that, with all respect, nobody thought that they would be going out of business, but because they didn't focus on the experience early enough on, now they're going bankrupt. You know, same with many other companies that just stopped focusing on the customer experience and building a relationship with their brands. They're now being replaced by something that's easier to get to, faster, you know, and just more accessible online than what they were having to deliver because they didn't do that one thing that could have made that differentiator between us choosing them over someone else. It had nothing to do with the product.
Yeah, I feel like the more complicated sales, this definitely makes a lot of sense, right? So yeah, any B2B or anything where like a marketing thing or life insurance or, you know, any service mm-hmm. type industry, yeah. With products, I'm not sure. You know, I have a company that I run on the side that we create a lot of books and things for, mm-hmm. for Amazon and stuff. And, you know, we never speak to those clients. We, you know, there's no relationship there.
They have a relationship with Amazon then.
They do. Right. But that's Amazon. That's Amazon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not something where most of the companies, like even the third parties selling on Amazon, they can't really have a relationship because Amazon blocks that as much as possible.
Well, they kind of still do because by the end of the time, like when they get their product, is it there on time? Is it delivered the way that intended? You know, I know that I've reordered from people on Amazon because they've just done something a little different, even inside the package, you know, when it's delivered to me, or they went above and beyond and, you know, put a personal note or something in there, then I'm going to go back and buy it from them. But Amazon is honestly the place that people end up because they didn't maintain a relationship with their clients somewhere else. So they're now sharing a sale and relying on Amazon to be that relator to their customer. But if you think of like a Barnes & Noble or a place like that, that may be selling the books there, they're relying on you coming in and having an experience there with them and their books versus getting it and ordering it on Amazon.
Yeah, that's true. Derek Sivers from CD Baby, he had some amazing ways of mm-hmm. getting people excited just through stuff he did in the packages. So yeah, I can see that. But you know, the one thing you touched on is getting customers to become an army, a marketing mm-hmm. army for you. I think that's key. That's key for a lot of people, right? You know, mm-hmm. because when we have these longer contracts, you know, and usually B2B, we do have longer relationships, you know, cycles, business cycles. Like we deal with these clients and most of them will not leave unless you mess up just because, you know, it's too much effort and money spent on their time too. But then, yeah, the referrals. I think that's definitely something everyone's interested in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they can, clients can be wooed away. And I think honestly, you know, thinking that because somebody has spent a lot of time in investing in something that they won't necessarily change unless you screw up. If they know that somebody can do a better job and they're giving you more attention, you will switch. Kind of a prime example, we were partnered with a company for our content management system, or client relationship management system, I should say. and spent a lot of time investing and building all of our tools there, all of our blogs there. I mean, it was a long journey to get this done. We had another company that started paying attention to us, started researching, engaging with us online, ended up sending us a personalized gift that was actually a cornhole board, and it had, do you know what a cornhole board is before I explain it? It's a game basically that has a board that has a hole at the end and you throw bean bags inside, right? And the more points, whatever, it's a Midwestern thing. But anyway, they made these bean bags that were smaller, that have their name on it. And then the bigger named one was the company that we are currently using. And their letter with it was like, you know, sometimes it's just the not the right fit. We feel like we're the right fit for you. Super creative, stepped outside the box, got us to notice then, and then ended up wooing us over. And, you know, we ended up transitioning. It just happened to be the same time that our other company was just focusing on new sales and not really paying enough attention. So you can be wooed away, even if it's a pain. So that's why you definitely have to keep the relationship with customers. But turning customers into a marketing army for you, it is a process. We use the customer care analogy. So care, you have to focus on capturing their attention first by letting them know who that you're there to serve them and standing out in a way that lets them know that. Through A, articulating your message of what you do really well and how you're there to help. The R is focusing on relationship long term, so not just to get the sale, but ongoing, you know, whether it's email communications, social media, phone calls, check-ins, whatever that looks like for your brand, staying in touch. And then the E is focusing on the experience. So what can you do that's a little bit extra that's just letting somebody know you matter to me and to my brand? So whether it is a book and maybe you have an offer in your book, or you are going to be coming out with another book, you know, you need to focus on how can I stay engaged? Maybe you have a hashtag around your book, or you're asking them to do something with that book to let them know you got it. I just purchased one the other day, The Millionaire Mindset by Lewis Howes. And his thing was, hey, send me a selfie with the book. And let me know that you got it. And then he tagged, I tagged him, he messaged back out to me and then invited me to a personal Facebook group community that of other people that got the book. So now it's not just a book. It is now he's building a community of others that are all experiencing this book together, can talk with each other, go through the process. And when he has another offer, who's probably going to be the first people that he tells about it? It's probably going to be his Facebook community. He's building a relationship with us. It's more than a transaction at that point.
Yeah, that's super smart. I actually like that a lot. With my company, we do take care of the clients really well. There's a lot of back and forth, and I usually don't work with anyone that I don't like. So maybe that's quite, I kind of feel that's the norm. When we did take clients from other people, it's been a really mixed bag. Sometimes we were able to just take them very fast, and other times, like with the SEO company, they'd say someone just completely destroyed their website. But at the end, it was like, oh, but they apologized, so I'll just stick with them. You know, I was like, Which is okay, yeah. But you know, it's really a mixed bag with going after, you know, someone else's clients that way. I feel new clients sometimes aren't easier, you know, because there's no preconceptions, right? It's like, okay, they just want to get something done for the first time. I think it's easier.
It just depends, because chances are they've probably been through an experience with someone else before, so. In every essence, you probably are the first time that they're dealing with you. So it is always going to feel new, right? But there's been several studies that are done by Walker, People 2020, Coca-Cola, Intuit, several others. But those are three kind of that focus on B2B, B2C, and retail space, where all their studies were done on business in 2020 and what it's going to look like. And they said the number one differentiator why somebody's going to choose one brand over another is all going to be based on experience. And they proved it in every single model and industry. I encourage just to Google that report, People 2020, and you will find the studies that have been done for your type of business. And this is just the new normal. People don't even have you. 60% of the sales cycle is done before somebody's even talking to a sales rep or getting to that purchase intent point. They're on this journey and looking at what other people are saying, what their experience has been, and then making a decision based upon how easy it is to find your wares, you know, what they can, what they're seeing about you online, what their friends and family members are saying, and then making their decision based on that. If you're lucky, you have a chance to talk to them and be the smooth salesman that you can be. But at that point, they've already made up a big majority of their decision just based on what they're seeing online. So that's why I highly encourage people to focus on their current customers that can be that voice for them before somebody's getting to that point of, you know, maybe listening to someone else.
Yeah, that's good advice. When a company comes to you, and usually they have to be in trouble to come to you, right? So, and in some, yeah, because they want a solution. What's the first thing that you try to tackle? Like, what is the first point, the 80-20 of the whole thing?
Yeah, so we actually go through a six-step process. The very first point is starting with a plan, because majority of people are like, let's go straight into the marketing. That's the fun part. That's what's going to bring me in sales. But I'm like, okay, hold the phone first. Who are we trying to go after? Who is your target audience? Because the first thing they'll usually say is anybody that wants to buy my product. You can't market to everyone. You're not in business to solve everyone's problems. You usually have a certain person that you can truly help. And there's certain people that you absolutely can never please or help. So we need to clearly identify that first and then ask them, what is their goal? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Some people just want to be known. Some people want to make money only. You know, it just depends what your goals are next. Then we go through, okay, how are we going to attract those people? Where are they hanging out? What kinds of search engine optimization should you have in place? What do you need to have on your website? So a majority of the sales process can happen there. And it's not just a brochure, it's a utility. Like, why would they come to your website in the first place? How can you make it a utility so somebody can come to that site again and again? And also go through the transactional process, which is the next step, converting. How are we going to stay engaged with them? Then how are we going to stay delighting them? Meaning, how are you going to stay in touch? How are you going to, you know, convert and wow? And then how are we going to measure our results? And what are you measuring success on? So we go through that six-step process with them, but we first start with planning first and foremost.
Yeah, planning is key. One of the things that we're going to try for one of the businesses is running webinars to sell the entry-level product. Do you have any tips for building a relationship before and after the webinar is done? Because I know a lot of people that are doing online courses and things, they all run webinars. So I think that's pretty key too. And I've had some bad experiences on webinars. So I'm curious to your thoughts.
Yeah, first see what else is out there, especially in your space. So see what's already existing today and how can you make your webinar better, smarter, you know, easier, right? And then from there, start out with a couple people potentially and beta test it, or collaborate with others that have maybe done it before so you can get your word out faster. So there's nothing better than doing a webinar and bringing in maybe a couple other people that are going to help you share it out. And then we also recommend, you know, giving away some things ahead of time for free and say, basically, like, if you like this, you're going to love this kind of thing, where you can give them a little sneak peek. And then just rock out the webinar and give them some actionable items at the end. Don't make it a sales pitch. Make the sales pitch the next step. If people sign up for a webinar and they spend 45 minutes of their time and never get to the answer that they were trying to solve, and that answer is, hey, you need to buy my product, they're going to be ticked and they're never going to come back to anything else that you have to offer. So do the webinar super value offer only, and then say, here's all this information for free. But if you need me to do it for you, then that's the next step in the process. And honestly, that's how I grew Now Marketing Group. When I started, it was just me, and I just offered free trainings. That was it, online. And I literally taught them to do everything that I was doing, but they weren't buying in to my service because they couldn't YouTube or Google and figure out how to do a Facebook page or a social media management or write a blog. They were coming to me, their pain points were because they didn't have the time and they were wearing a lot of hats already. And they wanted somebody that was just simply focused on this, that they could work with as an extension of their brand. So by offering so much for free, which people are like, why are you showing them how to do your job? I'm like, that's not why they're hiring me. So find out whatever that thing is that you can offer that's super valuable that will build that trust with them to then when they will want to hire you at the end.
I like that idea. On one of the episodes, which will be released before this one, because it's best right now, with Ezra Firestone, we spoke about Instant Messenger. And I think that fits in very well into relationship marketing. Some thoughts on that?
Yeah, depending on like how you have it plugged in, I definitely think more people are comfortable with texting and responding via Messenger, especially on websites now. It's just simply like, how can I help? People are definitely into that. And even Facebook Messenger now. I'm not a huge fan yet of chatbots. I feel like it's too disconnected. So I do feel like it has to be another human on the other end of the messaging for right now. There are some things that bots can help you do to, like, let's say for your webinar, for example, if you're using Messenger and saying, hey, on a social post, if you're interested in signing up for this webinar, comment I'm in below and you'll be signed up. And then maybe you put a chatbot behind that and it helps to automatically enroll them in the webinar. Perfect. But for all other things, chatbots can do a lot more harm than good. But I'm a huge fan of Messenger as a quick way of communication and getting to a live person, because all of us want that instant gratification with that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very slippery slope with the Messenger. You know, because it's such a sacred place for a lot of us. You know, like even on my phone, I don't have Facebook installed. I only have the Messenger installed. And then when,
which is good for me because I was able to contact you right away.
It was, but that's why, you know, like we became friends really quick, right? Then. So that's a sacred place. And that's why, you know, we connected so fast. But then when someone that's not a friend comes in that space, you know, I don't know, I get a bit defensive.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't think any kind of interruption marketing where you do not have permission to message that person, where you're just simply like blasting out text messages because you purchased it from this group list or whatever, that is an offensive way of marketing. I like to say you're being a bullhorn versus a magnet. You don't want to do interruption marketing. And if anything about traditional media has taught us is people will do anything to avoid bullhorn style marketing. They will DVR it. They will buy Pandora or, you know, whatever they can. They will stop buying newspapers and get their news online. Nobody likes to be interrupted. You have to find out why they will contact you, and you have to earn their attention. And then you have a relationship started to where you have permission to market to them and start building a relationship, which will result in a sale from there. But any other forum where there's no shortcuts anymore. Facebook, you know, if anything, now with even Facebook's new algorithm, everyone is being penalized for trying to take these shortcuts to spamming and getting in front of people without doing the work first. You're getting removed from the newsfeed because you're trying to blast these messages out instead of giving helpful information that's engaging to get people to want to engage with your business Facebook page. Same thing with Twitter. They're getting rid of the fake bot accounts that people are just trying to tweet out the same thing from 100 accounts in hopes that they're going to get more links to their website. Direct messages on Twitter. All that stuff is being nixed. You know, the GDPR with people buying email lists and trying to spam that way. All of these things are being nixed because it doesn't work and nobody likes it. So you might as well just build a strategy now to that's going to help your business long term to keep your customers longer.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of work, right? Which it should be. But it definitely does seem like a lot more work than some people think. You know, anytime you buy the make money online products, it's always shortcuts, you know, and you're completely against all that.
It doesn't last. I mean, realistically, with building a relationship marketing plan, you have realistically 12 to 18 months in it with work. From there, though, it's smooth sailing. And honestly, you're either going to forever be buying your attention, or you can just do a little bit of work now and earn your attention to where you don't have to purchase it ongoing. We've never like had to purchase AdWords or anything like that. I'm not saying they don't work, because they do work. But for me, I've never had a sales rep, you know, we've only used our own, drank our own Kool-Aid, so to speak, in order to grow. And, you know, it works. and it's worked for our clients, and that's why we have a low churn rate as well with our clients. And we're a month-to-month business. It's not like they have to sign a contract or whatever. So I truly feel like this is what businesses have to be ready for, whether it's they're going to be forced to do it later or they can do the work now.
What does your marketing look like, selling your own services?
Yeah, so I do video trainings each week for free on Tuesdays on our Facebook page. And then I do blog articles and helpful trainings here. I host a conference as well in our community. And then I go to conferences and do just good old-fashioned, you know, organic marketing where we're meeting face-to-face and building relationships. But other than that, it's all helpful content on our website, doing social media that's engaging, collaborating with others in the space, and doing, you know, free things online to draw people in. And all of our traffic comes from website or word of mouth referrals.
Yeah, we just finished a long series of episodes on content marketing. So I think this question would still make sense. How long, in your opinion, from when someone starts content marketing until they start seeing some results?
So depending on the kind of content that they're producing, if your content is crappy, it will take forever. But if you have really good content, I mean, you'll start seeing results pretty quickly, especially if you do it smart where you're writing pillar content, which is pillar content is that deep dive, highly valuable resource that's 1,200 to 1,500 words where you know that you've targeted right because you've used tools like answerthepublic.com to make sure that it's something that people are searching for in your space and that you're just answering the question better, then you can start seeing results right away as well, especially if you are reaching out to people strategically and saying, hey, will you share this for me? Not people you don't know, but people you know, asking them to share it for you, and maybe even mentioning a couple of people in the post that you're writing so they're getting alerted and wanting to share it out. But for the average person, for the average business that is focusing and solely going in on content marketing, it's realistically going to take them at least a year to start making that their main source of leads and traffic. Like the things I was telling you, you're going to get a lot of results faster. But realistically, just to under promise, I would say 12 months of all in.
How many solid posts do you think would need to be done within those 12 months?
For each brand, it's a little bit different, but I would say, so HubSpot recommends like four times a week, but I recommend twice a month. Just keeping it consistent, whatever that consistency looks like for you, whether that's once a week, twice a month, whatever, but minimum, you know, twice a month, I think that's good if your content is helpful and relatable to your ideal audience, then you're going to have success. And make sure that you're just answering the question better than anyone else. Don't put fluff in it. It's not going to work that way. And that you're not just sitting the content there and hoping that people are going to come to you and find your content magically, but you're, you know, doing the work to push it out on social media. You know, you're reaching out to potentially others that you know and saying, hey, will you share this blog post? And I've mentioned you in it or whatever. You're doing, you know, webinars like you had mentioned and saying, hey, I also have this piece of content on my website that helps walk you through that process. Whatever that looks like for your brand, make sure you're not only writing the content, but you're activating it afterward.
Love it. Jessica, where can people find you?
You can go to nowmarketinggroup.com or Jessica Phillips, pretty much anywhere on the interwebs, but it's JessicaPhillips.
And I will link all this out in the show notes, so easy to find.
Perfect.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.